For many people, work is more than just a job to pay the bills. It gives life meaning, purpose, and even community. Derek Thompson has been writing about the way we work for years, and he has a new book. It's called On Work: Money, Meaning, Identity. It's a selection of his articles on the topic from The Atlantic, where he is a staff writer, and it's out tomorrow. Hi, Derek.
Hello.
Good to have you. Well, there used to be this idea that as machines and technology made everything more efficient, we'd be able to work less, maybe have more leisure time, shorter work weeks even. That has not happened, and you blame this in part on what you call workism. Explain what that idea is.
I think it's absolutely fascinating that in an era of declining religiosity, there are many Americans, and I should say here, especially college-educated elite Americans, who I think have learned to treat work as essentially a modern religion. The things that we have historically looked to organized religions for, whether it was community or self-actualization, a sense of even spiritual meaning in our lives, I think increasingly many people look to work to provide these things. You see this not only in hearing the fact that, you know, when people introduce themselves, what's your name and what do you do, as if it's the second most or single most important thing about you, but also in surveys from Pew, it turns out that people consider finding a job that they enjoy or working hard to be more important than basically any other value, including getting married, having children, being in a loving relationship. It is astonishing the degree to which we place work at the top of the pile of values in America.
Let me ask you about your reporting at Youngstown, Ohio. This was a once industrial powerhouse. But then in the late 1970s, the steel mills closed, blue-collar jobs disappeared, and Youngstown has never recovered. I want you to talk about the lessons about work that you take away from what happened in Youngstown then and now.
Well, I was very interested in taking seriously some of the predictions, which are really starting to get louder now that people are so impressed or spooked by the incredible capabilities of OpenAI and ChatGPT and other large language models. I was really interested in the idea that maybe some of these technologies could replace a huge swath of the workforce. Where could I go in America, I asked, where I could really look at a culture, at a community, where work went away? And I looked at Youngstown. Not only did jobs go away, but in many cases, you know, the spirit of the city went away. And one of the conclusions that I took away from this is that it's not just that when work goes away, there's less work, there's less money. There's all sorts of things that are tied to work. There's community, there's health, there's happiness. There's a sense of being and purpose that also seem to dissipate.
So it's not just about economic stability, it's about cultural cohesion on some level.
Yeah, I think that's extremely well put. It is about cultural cohesion. And I wish it weren't necessarily the case that work is the essential and fundamental glue of modern society. But it is simply fascinating and important to note that where work goes away, it's hard to replenish that essential glue.
You write about two kinds of work, hard work and soft work. And you don't mean hard work in terms of backbreaking physical labor or difficult tasks. Explain how you define those two terms.
Hard work is the kind of work that is essentially productive. I would consider, you know, my hard work to be, you know, talking to sources and transcribing interviews and writing paragraphs and editing paragraphs. It's what I'm paid to do. Then there's soft work. Soft work is, you know, gossiping around the office. It's having a conversation with a colleague that might not be productive, but might not necessarily be unproductive. Offices, I have concluded, are for soft work, not hard work. The purpose of an office, for the most part, is not to necessarily make people most productive on a minute-by-minute basis, but rather to create those kind of connections between workers that might be valuable sometime later down the line.
So post-pandemic, I mean, talk about the trust then that's lost with remote work. And is there a way to develop it, to foster it, to bring it back?
I think there is, absolutely. But I also think it's very difficult to get some of the soft work benefits of a company if you are purely remote. That's why some of historically the most successful remote companies have often had big conventions, big retreats every few months, so that people feel like they're not just working on a group chat, they're working for an actual company. And I think that it's important in the long run to build that kind of community and work.
So talk more about that digital communication. I mean, it is fraught with problems, email, Slack, instant messaging, especially, and how we use it now, post-pandemic.
Yeah, it is a big problem. And one of the big problems, I think, just comes down to data. You know, when we are with other people, we can see the expression in their face so close up. We can see their body language. We can see how they're angled toward us when we talk to them. When you have a conversation online, you just don't get that same kind of data from people. And as a result, I think you can have sort of mistrust and misunderstandings grow. It's not to say that those problems can't be solved, but I think it takes a lot of intention to solve them.
So with all these problems and challenges in the new modern work environment, how do you see work evolving? What do you think it will look like in 5 years, 10 years down the road?
There's just no escaping the fact that I am thrilled by, spooked by, fascinated by artificial intelligence right now. That opens up all sorts of fascinating and bizarre possibilities for how we will work with computers and how computers might, in some cases, replace us. I am not so much a pessimist on this latter point. I don't think that we are doomed to something like 50% unemployment. I think something more like an age of chimeras is more likely. You know, machine-human hybrids, even maybe for my own work in the next book that I write, to be co-written with an AI. It might seem utterly strange for me to say that right now, but it would not be weird for me to say that I wrote this book with the internet. Of course I wrote it with the internet. Well, it's going to, I think, be the same way in 10 years. Writing with these AI tools is going to seem as normal as writing with the internet or word processor. Mm.
Derek Thompson is staff writer for The Atlantic. His new book, written by himself, not with AI, is called On Work, Money, Meaning, Identity. Derek, thank you.
Thank you.